Good morning again, everyone. I'm glad you're all here with us. You know how some weeks you sit down and to go through things and you think, well, this shouldn't be too hard to do. I've been working on this for a while, and I sat down yesterday and went downstairs and hid from Lana so she couldn't bother me. She wouldn't anyway, but I hid so I could do that, and I went through my message the first time, and it lasted a whole 15 minutes. I thought, well, everybody will like that. They'll get out of here early because it's communion and we can leave early. I said, no, I better work on that a little bit more. So I did. I sat down and went through it a little bit more. And when I did that, the next time it was an hour and a half. So that's the version we're going with today, the hour and a half version. No, we're going to try and fall somewhere in between, hopefully, here. That's the goal anyway. Sam might have mentioned the pastor's going to be away quite a bit this month. Actually, three of the four Sundays he's not going to be here, so you're going to have a guest lecture series from our elders for most of this month, and so I just ask you to bear with us. In this message, I actually came from Lily Fry, actually, is the one that encouraged this message, and she encouraged it because at the end of a Sunday school class, she asked the question. She waited till the end of the class. You know, there's like 2 minutes left, and so you don't have time to talk about it. Sorry, Lily, I'll pick on you a little bit this morning. She asked about these verses that Sam read to us. It was kind of interesting to do that, and you just couldn't really talk about it in 2 minutes. So I did a little bit of studying and working on this, and as I went through this, I was reading these passages, and what I had found is that this passage is actually part of a larger message that Jesus was giving. These passages are near the end of what was known as the Sermon on the Mount. He was there talking to the people, and part of that sermon, there was a very deep sermon. It started in chapter 5 of Matthew, and as he was going through that sermon, he gave us the Beatitudes are actually found in that section in chapter 5. The Beatitudes are those things that are, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it continues on with several of those different Beatitudes. This section of his sermon gives us a lot of information on things that we should live, ways we should live our lives, on how we should do things. And the Beatitudes are just one of those parts of it. As he goes through the rest of his message here, there's lots of lessons in life there that we can have and fit ways that we should do things. One of the sections, the first sections in there in my Bible is labeled, Christ came to fulfill the law. So what was the law that he came to fulfill? He was one that came to earth, left heaven, came to earth, sinned. He did not sin. He lived a sin-free life. He was crucified and rose again after that 3 days later to free us from our sins so that we could go to heaven. So that was the law that he had come to fulfill. One of the other things is in there is anger. It talks about anger in there. In the Old Testament, the law said, and there's law and then there's grace, but in the law said, if you commit murder, that's a sin. But Jesus said in this section that if you think about your brother poorly or you want to injure somebody, that's the same as murder to him. So Jesus looked at that quite a bit different way to look at murder and look at anger that way. And also about retaliation was also mentioned, and here's another one, where it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Anybody here ever want to get retaliation against anybody? You're driving down the highway and that guy cuts you off, the next thing you want to do is pass him and do the same thing to him. Well, I think we all have those little things in life. Jeff's smiling, he's never done that. Shannon, has he ever done that? Okay, she's smiling too and not answering. Good answer, Shannon, good answer. So, you know, retaliation is not for us to do. We shouldn't go back and get vengeance. Vengeance is for God. Actually, Jesus tells us here in this Sermon on the Mount that if someone slaps you on the cheek, you're to turn the other cheek. If someone requires you to go a mile with them because you owe them something, that you should just go the extra mile and go 2 miles with them. So Jesus is looking at things way differently through grace and faith than the law looked at things. It's not that the law isn't there anymore, but we don't have to live under that anymore, and retaliation is different. And actually, in this Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 6 of Matthew, is where the Lord's Prayer comes from. It's found in the middle of beginning of chapter 6, And I find that interesting. Anybody here know the Lord's Prayer? Ever recite that? That's where it comes from. Why don't we just take a moment here and just say that Lord's Prayer, if we can do that together. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yeah, that's something that everybody kind of knows, and that's where it comes from. It's Jesus' sermon. He told people how to pray that the Lord's Prayer there, which is kind of interesting that we follow that pattern that the prayer is set up as. So that's, again, just more information from this chapter. Another thing that he talks about, again, I'm not hitting all the attitudes here, the lifestyles thing, but another one is lay up your treasures in heaven. So, and that starts in verse 19 of chapter 6. My Bible talks about laying up your treasures in heaven. So where do you want to put your treasures? Here on earth, where they can rust or be stolen or moth can eat them away? Or do you want to lay them up in heaven? Jesus is telling them we don't want to put our treasures here on earth. We want to put them in the future in heaven. So I'm slowly working my way towards, and it also says in this thing about being anxious, do not be anxious. Does anybody here ever get anxious about anything? I got anxious about coming up here to speak today. So I don't know if any of you would have been the same way, but Sam knows the feeling. But it says do not be anxious because God's going to take care of everything. He's got the plan laid out for us. He's taking care of us. So we shouldn't be anxious about anything. And there's another in chapter 7 of this sermon that Jesus gave on the mount. It starts out in chapter 7, it starts with judging others, but it gets in there also with a quote that's in the Bible, or not a quote, but a set of verses, and it starts in verse 7, and it's mine titled, Ask and it will be given. Boy, is that a misleading verse. People take that out of context all the time. People read that and say, oh, well, if I ask God for anything, so if Dave asked God for that brand new Ferrari that he wants to drive, he's going to give it to him. Right, Dave? Yep. Well, my Bible doesn't necessarily say that, but I like your thoughts, though. But he says to ask, and he'll give it to you. And it's not necessarily things, because there we go back to where you're laying up your treasure, here on earth or in heaven. So he's more referring to things that are glorify him in that way, which Dave already knew. He was just playing along with me there. Yeah, appreciate that. So we shouldn't lay up our treasures here. We should lay them up in heaven, and that's where that we should be at on that. And that's a very, like I say, a very misrepresented quote, because you'll hear people say that all the time. A lot of pastors out there on television will be prosperity gospel pastors. They'll be on television saying, come follow me, come follow my church, and do these things, and everything will be great and wonderful for you. And the Bible doesn't actually tell us that. If we follow Christ, life will be hard. It'll be difficult. And so it also starts into, and I want to go to a different here verse. It talks about in chapter, starting in verse 15, about the tree and its fruit and how you can tell kind of what a false prophet is and where a false prophet is. And before we get into that, I kind of look at that kind of like my garden. As I was working in my garden, I was thinking about these verses. Anybody here have a garden? Nobody has a garden. A couple of people. Is your garden like my garden, where the weeds grow faster than the vegetable plants? I think I weed that thing every couple of weeks, and Lana will always be like, "Look, garden looks pretty good," and I'll be like, "No, got to go weed." So it'll always be like that with that. The weeds seem to grow faster, and the vegetable plants don't grow anywhere near as fast as what the weeds do. So I get a little confused by that. So you go out and you weed out the garden. And this past week, I was out weeding the garden again. And I also noticed with that where the weeds were growing the most was right near the vegetable plants themselves. So almost like they were growing under them in the shade. And the weeds were stealing and robbing the nourishment of the vegetable plants that were there. So they weren't getting the nourishment from the soil, the moisture from the soil. And I was pulling the weeds out, and some of them I'd throw back in the woods, some of them I'd make a pile so I could get rid of them. And it kind of reminded me of these verses here in Matthew 7, starting with verse 15. And I'll just take a minute here and read those, because it's talking about how you can find false prophets or see how good a prophet is by his fruit. So this is Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Well, that's what I call the weeds. They look like plants. They look like they're going to grow, but they're not really going to do anything but choke out your other plants. "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and thus you will recognize them by their fruits." So that was kind of what I was thinking. I was going through my garden kind of that way. It's sometimes hard to recognize the weeds, but you can tell them by the fruit that's going to grow on them. My tomato plants have little green tomatoes on them. The weeds, they didn't have little green tomatoes on them, but there was a lot of them growing around. So I pulled them out and threw them away, and didn't put them in the fire, but I threw them off into the woods so they'd get rid of them. So that's the way we can look for what people are telling us, different preachers you see, different pastors you see, be they on television, be on the radio. There was a radio evangelist several years ago that I really liked listening to his show, and I thought he was a great speaker, because when I drive a lot, I listen to radio. I don't listen to talk shows. And he was talking about many things. People would call and ask him questions, and he'd give answers. And then one day he started talking about he was giving the date that Jesus was going to return. He was saying, here's the date that he's coming back. Here's the date that he'll be here. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So I started doing some research on that pastor. And this is what I found out, but I should have done my research before I listened to him a lot. This was the second or third time he had said when Jesus was coming back. I didn't listen to him anymore after that, and within a few weeks, his show was not to be found on the radio anymore. But that's how you can discern a good fruit from bad fruit. Is, are they telling you what the Scripture says? The Scripture tells us no man knows when the hour or the day was here. So we went through all that just to set up to where we are at our verses currently. Right, Lily? We're up to Matthew 7:21, the 23 that you want to talk about, right? No, she doesn't want to talk about it. No, you don't want to talk about it, or no, you just don't want the attention that I'm giving you. Second one, okay, got it. So as I got rid of those weeds in the garden, I was sitting there and I was thinking about it, and that's another place where I like to think. I'll practice my messages in the garden and when I'm driving in the car, or when I'm downstairs hiding from Lana so that I'm not bothering her in practicing it, so that I came up with this. Now, in verse 21... it starts out, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So then it goes on with, "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you are workers of lawlessness.'" Well, these people, we don't know who they were. It doesn't say if there was one or 100, but as I did some research on this, it seemed like many scholars feel that this is a time Jesus is referring to as the great judgment at the end times, that he's there judging people on giving them whether you come into heaven or you don't go to heaven. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or is it not written in that book? So that's what they said, that they think that this is referring to at this time. He's not talking it that day when he was giving the sermon, but he was talking at a future time when that was coming. That's what a lot of the scholars that I was reading said that they thought this was. And they had come to him at this time, and they said, "Lord, Lord." So we have to look at who these people are that are coming to Jesus. Is this... everybody's going to be judged at the last day. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, everybody's going to come before the Lord for judgment. It depends what you are and what you did is how that's going to work. So who were these people? And we're going to have to assume that they were people within the church or went to church anyway, because they referred to Jesus as Lord. So they knew who he was. They knew he was the Lord. He was the Christ. And they were recognizing that and honoring that and glorifying that. And not only did they say Lord once, they said Lord twice. They were really emphasizing that they knew who he was. Anytime you see words repeated like that, it's just an extra way to emphasize who these people are and what they're talking about, and you're recognizing their duties. So at the end of it, Jesus said they weren't going to heaven when they said, Lord, Lord, because they told him what they had done and what they did in his name. So why weren't they going to heaven? They prophesied in his name. They cast out demons in his name. They did many other mighty works in his name. Well, why weren't they going to heaven? Well, Jesus in here states earlier that the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven are those that are going to go to heaven. So the question there is, what is the will of the Father? So we have to do a little research to see what God's will really is. And I found many different verses that kind of gives you an idea what God's will is. The first one I'd like to read to you is in John chapter 6, verse 40. Remember, we're searching the scriptures to see what God's will is here on this. But in John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is what my Bible has, and this is the English Standard Version. For this is the will of my Father. There it is, it's saying what the will of the Father is. It's something that we're looking for here. That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So Jesus is saying there that what the will of the Father is that everyone who looks on the Son, Jesus, and believes in him should have eternal life, and he'll raise him up on the last day. Again, we're back at that last day, judgment, being raised up. Jesus is looking at them. That's what he's saying there in that verse. And then let's look at John, a page or two back, chapter 5, verse 24. In that verse, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come to judgment, but has passed from death to life. So that's telling us a little bit more about what's going to happen at the end times. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come to judgment. So that's sort of what the same thing is telling us in that great white throne judgment time, is those who have accepted Christ, when they come there, they're automatically going into heaven. They're going to be there forever. Those who have not accepted Christ are not going to be there. They're going to be spend life eternally. Some people will call it hell, but they'll be separated from God. That's where they'll be eternally. That choice has to be made while you're here in life. So that's where the will of God is the will of God is that we know that Jesus is his Son and that we understand what he did for us, and we have faith and believe in who he is and what he did for each of us. That's the will of the Father. That's what Jesus is telling us here that you have to do to get into heaven. Well, verse 22, you have chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 22, these people are sitting there saying what they did. They said, on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? So what are they talking about there that they did? They didn't say that they believed in who Jesus was. They were stating what their works were, what they had done to earn their way into heaven. But that's not what we just read in those few verses. It doesn't say that you have to do. And keep in mind, too, these are people who were from the church. They were probably Sadducees and Pharisees and maybe just other people from the church trying to follow Jesus at that time. But they were claiming what their works were and what they were done. That would be like me standing up and when I'm standing in front of Jesus saying, well, I gave messages on Sunday morning because that was my preaching and prophesizing in your name. I opened the door for people when they wanted to come into places. I helped people mow their lawn or move their furniture or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good things, but that's works. That's me trying to earn my way into heaven. That's not something that I can do myself. It's a gift of Jesus to get to heaven through him and only through him. And we can find in Ephesians, if we look to Ephesians, go to chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Excuse me, I have verses 8 to 9 written here on my paper, and I have verses 8 to 10 written on my little place marker on my book, so my Bible. So we're going to go with verses 8 to 10 in Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, not so that one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Ephesians is telling us that it's not by our works that we get to heaven. It is by our faith in Christ. So we go back to chapter 7 of Matthew, and that's where it's these people in verse 22 weren't saying they believed in Jesus. They didn't say that they had faith in Christ. They were basically saying, well, here's all the wonderful things that I did to earn my way into heaven. Now, I've seen these verses used in different ways that I never knew you, that how do you know if you truly accepted Christ and what you should do, and don't work show that I've accepted Christ and I'm doing his things, I'm going doing his things, and if you're not doing good things, then you don't come to heaven. Well, works, get back to the verses before that about the fruit that you have. If you've accepted Christ and you're following who he is, that should change your life of who you are and who you want to be. You should be then doing things not to glorify yourself, not to earn your way into heaven, but people should be able to look at you and say, you know, I'm looking at Ross, and Ross was at work, and he was sharing with, sorry, Ross, I made you go back to work. You're not retired anymore. So Ross is now sharing with people at work, and the way he's living his life, they can look at him and say, huh, there's something about him that I really like. He's always happy. He's always smiling. He's talking good and friendly to people. That's his fruit that is coming. Different people have different things. We have Sunday school teachers, other people who speak and preach to God. So it's the way that you live your life out in society that shows your fruit. That work is not going to get you into heaven. The only thing that's going to get you there is just your faith in Christ and knowing who he is and what he is doing. We have to make sure that we remember that we're with him and following him in all that we do. So Christ is the one leading us, but it's not our works that we can get there. I got one more tab here that I want to talk about. Yep, that was just to let me know where we were at the beginning. That you know, Christ, in these verses in this chapter, are telling us, yes, a lot of people are going to come to him at the end times in that great judgment, and they're going to say to him, hey, I did all these wonderful things in your name. And he's not going to let him in because he says, I didn't know you. If you'd have known me, you'd have accepted who I was, what I did, and you'd have changed your life a little bit on how you lived, and you'd have shared that with other people. So what we need to do here ourselves is sit back at our own lives and examine ourselves to see, you know, when I accepted Christ, have I fully let him into my heart? Have I fully following what he is doing? Is he guiding me in all that I do? Sometimes I have to say no. I'm not fully letting God do everything I do, everything I'm doing for him. Sometimes the old nature hops back in and says, hey, I want to do it this way because it's me. And I get jealous and covetousness because they had that elk drawing for elk tags last week and I didn't get one. So I'm a little jealous of that sometimes too. So that's covetousness, which is not Christ, but that's the old nature in me. But I should be happy for those who got one and be out there rejoicing for them. In the same way with everything here, if somebody has something that they get, be happy with them, rejoice for them, and just let know that that's the new nature in me, that's Christ. So that's the big thing that this verse is telling us, not that our works are getting us into heaven, but it's what we believe in our faith in Christ. So I just... if you haven't put your faith in Christ completely, I ask that you do that. And it's hard to do. I'm not successful at it all the time, but I try, and I try harder every day. So I just ask that you remember that and think about that. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you that when Jesus came, he was here on this earth and he spent time. He lived a sinless life. He shed his blood and died on that cross. He rose again 3 days later to go to heaven. And then when he rose 3 days later, that was the ultimate price that was paid for us so that we could go to heaven through him, Father. It's not our works. There's nothing we can do to earn your way. The law was put aside. As we know, we've all sinned and fallen short and not been able to reach where we were supposed to be. Father, I ask you to guide us and show us that if there's anyone here who has not fully accepted you into their heart or needs to re-accept you into their heart, that, Father, you touch them and be with them today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.